Hey everybody, and welcome to The Void, a show dedicated to filling the void between being an employee and becoming self-employed. Most people refer to starting their own company as taking the leap, as if they're blindly jumping off a cliff and into the unknown. This show is here to help you understand that it doesn't have to be that way. As always, if you like what you're hearing on the show, please do us a favor and help share The Void with somebody else who might be wanting to start their own company. We saw an opportunity to help others understand that self-employment is well within your reach. And just as our businesses have grown organically and by word of mouth, we want this show to grow the same way. So if you see somebody asking questions about starting their own service-based business, please do us a favor and send them a link to the show. I'm your host, Mitch Smedley, and with me as always is David Hilton.
Mitchell.
David.
Today is Tuesday.
Today is Tuesday, the last 30th. Tuesday of the year.
Tomorrow is New Year's Eve.
Yes.
Are you going to get drunk?
No.
And vomit and sleep in a pool of your own vomit?
No.
No?
That's
Do you want to explain to me what happened? Full transparency to people that listen to the show, I have no idea.
Yeah.
All I know is you post on social media, I'm a loser, I drank too much, and I woke up in a pool of my own vomit, and I just thought,
yeah,
maybe I find out the details here today, buddy. So we weren't together, so that's, you know.
And I didn't.
What happened?
I didn't do anything wrong.
That's objective.
If that makes sense.
That's objective, but okay.
No, I probably, not probably, I definitely picked up the drinking a lot in the last few weeks. And Saturday, we had family in town. We pretty much drank all day Saturday.
Who was in town?
Danielle's sister and brother-in-law.
Oh, yeah, I'd be drinking too.
And then her other sister and brother-in-law were in town with some sports stuff, and so we all went out to Topgolf, and I had like four doubles at Topgolf.
Oh, shit.
And then we came, and I also, Mason drove, so I was...
You had the free rein to do whatever you wanted.
I was driving loaded, riding loaded on the way to and from Topgolf with another...
Catch me
very
dirty,
strong
catch me
drink.
Riding dirty.
And then the we thing, came home from Topgolf and then went out to Loose Ends Tavern, South 7, kind of by Station 7. The old
Martini Shack.
Martini Shack.
Yeah.
Yep. And I had four more doubles there. And yeah.
Was there any...
All I know is that I woke up Sunday morning and there was a trash can by my bed and the bath mats were out of the bathroom.
Where were you?
In bed.
Oh, you were in bed?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you woke up on the floor.
No, no. I woke up in bed and I'm like, well, crap, something happened last night and I don't remember. And so I went to Danielle and I said, this is really embarrassing, but... I said, did I get drunk and pass out and puke last night? And she was like, oh, yeah.
She take any videos?
No.
Damn it!
No. But apparently...
That's disappointing as shit.
Like, I already know this about me. Thank God I'm not like a belligerent drunk or anything else. Like, I get extra flirty with Danielle and that's pretty much about it.
You get kind of stupid. Like, you say stupid things that don't make any sense.
Yeah.
Like, you spell things wrong.
Yeah.
And you know, you
CHE IFS.
Like, because you're very poignant most of the time.
Yeah.
And very on task.
Yeah.
And very.
I let the guard down.
Well spoken.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of it's intentional, which is fine. You know?
Yeah.
But then when about three drinks in, like 18 year old Mitch comes out that I know.
Yep.
And then like stupid things get said.
Yep.
But you are kind of, you're kind of huggy. You're happy.
Yeah.
I'm
glad I'm
not. You're
not
an asshole. Yeah, you're not an asshole.
But yeah, I just, no big problem, no DUI, no big anything like that. It was just like, hey, I'm going to take this as an early warning sign that this has gotten a little bit farther down the path than I'm willing to let it go. So we're just going to cut it out for a little while. So, I need to cut it out anyway. If I'm going to lean down and have a six pack by summer, you can't have a six pack and drink alcohol at the level I was drinking before. So, unless you're doing copious amounts of blow. So,
first off, not true. You're just not that body type. You know what I mean?
I'm 44.
No, you're just not that body type.
Yeah.
Like, if I work out every day, I'm like yoked.
Yeah.
Problem is, I'm lazy now, and I'm in my 40s, and I don't work out every day anymore.
Yep.
But you're right. You know, sometimes you need a hard reset.
Yeah.
Sometimes you need something to slap you in the mouth and be like, dude, what the fuck are you doing? And waking up like a loser and feeling like shit for 2 days will usually do that.
Yeah.
You know?
What's funny is I wasn't overly hungover.
Well, which just means the weed will help with that.
The gummy and the puking worked, but I mean, I didn't feel the greatest, but it wasn't like
you didn't think you were gonna die.
I didn't make that decision because of how I felt physically. I made that decision for how I felt that like
people viewed you.
Well, I'm like, there's a good 6 hour span that I don't have a single memory of.
Dude, that's not good.
Yeah.
That's, you know, and I don't understand it. Like, I'm not going to say who he is. A guy I know really well who's very successful, like a doctor successful, can drink and drink and drink, never throw up, but he will literally lose like 8 hours.
Yeah.
Like just black out.
Yep.
I don't do that. Like if I drink and drink and drink, my body goes, nope. I throw up and I go to sleep.
Eject. But
I remember it. Everything.
Yeah.
Like detailed, poignant memories of stupid things I've done.
Yeah.
Which is a whole nother psychological problem for me. But like my body's not that way. It's like, nope, we're kids out of the pool.
Yeah.
It's over. You fucked up.
I mean, again, not making excuses for anything, but Danielle did point out, so I had forgotten to take my depression medication on Friday.
Anxiety medication, but it's the same thing.
Depression and anxiety. It's sertraline. I forgot to take that on Friday, and so I took it Saturday morning, and then like it's a medicine that I kind of have to take every day, and if I miss a day,
that's one of those things that builds up in your system.
Yeah. And so I took it Saturday morning, the moment I realized I forgot Friday, and then I took it Saturday night before we went out. And that medicine
says on there may cause dizziness. Do not mix with alcohol.
Yeah. And so two doses of that medicine in the same day, plus a gummy before bed. It was enough, but thankfully
I'm not judging you at all. Like it sounds like, you know, you're like trying to cover up for a problem you have. You don't have a problem.
No,
it's just, it's very funny to me because you're so collected and so centered.
Yeah.
And it's so out of character. It makes me laugh.
Well, and that's probably why I'm like, all right, let's just call it out for what it is and
dude,
move on. Like it's not alcoholism, but at the same time, it's not alcohol.
Dude,
isn't.
It's that's funny. It's the holidays, man.
Yeah.
It's the holidays.
Yep.
I say this every year. I've said it the last few shows. I hate winter because literally you can't, like, you can go outside, but it sucks.
You called it earlier downstairs. I get stir crazy in the winter and I want to do all this shit.
You do. You are that way.
Yeah.
Like every winter, like you'll come to me, you'll message me with, you haven't this year, no, but you'll message me, hey, we should do this. Hey, we should do that. Or on Facebook, I'll see you like, hey, I want to get a golf simulator.
Can't go skiing.
Or yeah, I'm not going
There's
skiing.
No fucking snow there this
you
year.
You can't get the boat out. You know, you just start like going stir crazy, and like sometimes you're just like, you know what I'm going to do instead?
Been working on Mason's truck to pass the time.
I'm going to the fucking bar. Yeah. I'm going to the liquor store. That work, that gets me a lot, is I'll go down and I'll be like, this year I haven't done it, but like last year, Janine, I'm going down, I'm going to work on the car, I'm going to do this, 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 and this, and this, and this. Next thing you know, there's a half-empty 30-pack. The project's half fucking done.
Yeah.
You know, and you're like, I just wasted fucking 10 hours of my life. Mm-hmm. But that's just what it is. It's winter. I hate it. I know I've been talking to you a lot about when I get older, like being a snowbird and going somewhere warm.
Yep.
Every winter that has passed, I'm like one percentage point closer to that happening. Because every time a winter goes by, I'm like, fuck this winter.
Yep.
Yeah, well, we've been lucky this year. Like,
I know.
It's been pretty nice.
It didn't get cold until yesterday.
Man, it's cold as shit. Well, we had early cold, and then it was warm and nice.
Yep.
Now it's cold again.
Yep.
It just sucks. It's depressing. It's brown. People drink too much and vomit.
Yep.
It just, like, that's what winter is. Like, that's the real definition of winter. Sad and depressed.
But, like, the whole reason that I made the post, like, I could have just made that decision quietly and nobody would have known and all that stuff. But, as I try to do with my social media, I try to not let it just be the highlight reel. I let it be the everything reel. And yeah. And so it's like, hey, let's lead by example and show other people that may be wondering if they need to cut it out for a while or maybe going a little bit too hard. Like, hey, if they hear of somebody else openly giving it up, then maybe.
Yeah. We talk about it all, not all the time, but a lot, that people get depressed because they just go through social media and think that that's how everyone's life is.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
No.
No one is perfect. Yep. No one's living an upstanding, great, fantastic life every day.
Right.
I know guys that are worth $25 million and are literally on the edge of killing themselves fucking constantly.
Yep.
You know what I mean? It's not happy-go-lucky stars.
No.
I wish that there should be a rule. I know you could never enforce it on Facebook. That's like, okay, for every two posts you do, you have to do one that's actually a bad thing that you've done in the last week.
I mean, that's what like I try to do with mine.
How cool would that be?
I try
be?
To show the highs and the lows. So
that's why I don't put anything on there. People be like, this motherfucker's crazy.
This guy's low.
This guy is fucked up.
Yeah.
You know.
Hey, what are we talking about today?
Feel pulse.
Are we?
Do you want to talk about field pulse?
Well, we can.
I don't know. I just like bringing up field pulse.
So they do have, I got to pull up the email so I get the wording right. Where's it at? Where
oh, you're talking about for next month.
Yeah.
Yeah, January 1st. How many days are in January? Is it 30 or 31?
Well, it's effective immediately.
Oh, I thought she told me it was January. See, this is.
Well, this show won't play until January 1st or 2nd.
Oh, very
But it's
true.
Effective immediately. Anybody who signs up with Field Pulse using a link that we will have in the description of this show.
Oh shit. That's me. That's my cue.
You better put it in there.
All right.
You will get 20% off an eligible annual Field Pulse subscription, and you will get 50% off their premium support for the first year with Field Pulse. This offer is for only new Field Pulse customers that onboard at least 3 users. So users can be office, owner, field. Users can be anybody.
Yeah.
They don't have to be 3 field techs.
No.
But, yeah, if you onboard 3 users with Field Pulse, you get 20% off for the year and 50% off of premium support.
Yeah. And so, they don't advertise this, but we had our yearly wrap-up meeting with them. Was that last week? It was last week. They have a minimum now for signing up. If
yes.
you're new, which is what you were just saying, but if it's not for the special, they'll still take one-man trucks.
If you sign up through
our Void link,
yes,
that's in the description of the show, and I'll leave that one in there too.
Yep.
But if you go to Service Titan or whatever, and they're like, oh, you got to have 10 users or 5 users or whatever, we're not going to take you. You call Field Pulse. Oh no, you got to have 3. 3 is the minimum. If you use our link and you're a one-man show, they'll still take you.
They'll circumvent you.
Yeah,
because they know that our listeners aren't going to bring the problems that a lot of one-man shows are going to bring.
No,
if you're listening to our show, you probably think about things at a little higher level. So,
you know, it's funny. She brought that up in the meeting, and I was like, I don't know if I've ever actually said that.
Yeah.
To anyone, or like we've never told anyone. Oh, hey, by the way.
Yep.
So, if any of you that listened to our show didn't go through the link and got told to get bent, that's probably my fault. I'll wear that.
Yeah.
Use our link and yep. you'll be fine.
Yep.
And how about this? If you call them and do have an issue,
let us know about it.
You let me know about it
yep.
and I'll call and I'll chew some fucking ass.
Yep.
On your behalf.
We've had to intervene a couple of times with TradeWinds members. Not had to intervene, but like we've helped with the process. Yeah, we've helped with the process of a couple of TradeWinds members and when David and I call them, not to say we have clout or anything there, but because we are a partner with them, if we do call them, they take it very seriously and they want to make sure that
you're too nice.
Everything's good.
We do have fucking clout with them. Okay?
I'm just like, not bragging about the clout.
I know.
That's,
that's my point.
It's not like we call them and
say, don't
you know who I am?
I don't.
I'm the King Karen.
I don't have a lot of things that like I can hang my hat on and be brag-worthy in the Field Pulse, CRM,
in the
software,
clout space.
But I can do that with this.
I can do that with this.
I have some clout with this, so I'm going to fucking take it.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yep.
So anyways, check out Field Pulse.
Yep.
F-I-E-L-D. Fieldpulse.com.
FIELDPULSE.com. Or you just go to the links in the description of the show, because that's how you get the exclusive offers. So
yeah. What do we want to talk about?
Today we're going to talk about fraud, but not Somali fraud. Although we probably will end up talking about Somali fraud too. By the way,
I thought
the new Bugatti has been ordered. I opened up a Somali daycare.
Fantastic.
So got a couple milli coming in.
Couple milli.
Yep.
First off, if I had 2 million, I wouldn't buy a Bugatti.
No.
I'm one of those, like, I keep trying. I shouldn't say I keep trying. At different points in my life, I have tried to be kind of the uppity guy. I thought, like, that'll be me. I don't think so. Like, even if I have money and I'm get my McLaren I want, right? I'm going to run the fuck out of that thing, dude.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to be working on that thing in the garage every winter, because I'm going to fuck it up. Something's going to happen.
I don't know if we talked about it on the show. Whistling Diesel, big popular YouTube guy.
Oh, I think his show sucks. I just feel like he's phony.
He's really freaking smart.
I'm not saying he is. I'm just saying that's the vibe I get, and so I don't watch it.
Yeah. One of his Ferraris that he did, he sold it, and a guy in Kansas City bought it. And the guy in Kansas City drives it like you would drive yours.
Just balls to the wall all the time.
The snow that we got on December 1st.
Oh, shit.
There's videos taken from a high-rise downtown where he's going in between the buildings.
Oh,
like they're looking down on the streets. And here he is.
Why?
Like trying to go up a hill.
Why?
He drives it everywhere. He's got the Carroll Shelby mentality of, like, I didn't build this badass thing to sit in the garage and look at. I built it for you to drive and experience and get it fucking dirty.
Dude.
Use it.
We've talked about those, like, rebuilt or factory-built new Cobras. Yeah. I still think it would be super cool.
Yeah.
Like, I will say, we have the 68 Camaro. Like, when I drive it, I don't drive it that way.
Yeah.
Because I have, for some reason, some kind of respect for that car, and I'm like, I really don't want to fuck this up. And I don't know if it's because it's really Janine's car and not my car.
As I'm,
you know,
leaning into a classic car, getting maybe back into an old Mustang or something, I'm kind of toeing the line between one that's, like, really nice or one that is kind of like a Crustang, but good structure, and then put, like, a good power plant, good transmission, good suspension, good exhaust.
I know exactly what you're saying, dude.
And leave the patina on the outside what it is.
I'm telling you.
And just drive the fuck out of it and enjoy it.
Like those guys that are, I spent $90,000 on this 64 Vette or whatever, and it's, like, perfect. Like, looks like it come off the showroom. I don't know if I could drive it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't want one. Like, I want a driver for sure. I don't want a show car. Like, if you do it right, like the patinaed look, you actually end up with a show car. If you put a nice engine in it, nice transmission, nice exhaust, nice suspension, and the thing is enjoyable to drive and just kind of silly to look at, that actually attracts a lot of attention at the shows.
You know what I really think is a cool look? Like those Chevy 65 to 69 trucks that are
patinaed.
Teal blue. Mm-hmm. With rust patina, and then they clear coat it so it doesn't get worse.
Yep.
Dude, those look super cool.
Yeah.
The rust and teal, I love it.
Problem
and then, like,
is
you open the hood, and it's like everything's perfect.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, yes.
Problem is with Mustangs. Mustangs never had any cool colors that patinaed well. Mustangs also, I don't know if the sheet metal was thinner or what.
Probably. Fords suck.
But they didn't get surface rust like a lot of those old patina cars did. Like,
no, they got frame rust.
It's like fucking holes in it.
Floorboard rust. Yeah. I remember your old Mustang.
Yeah.
The floors rotted out of that thing.
Yeah. So, yeah.
But there's nothing that says you have to have an original color. Like,
no.
Teal blue wasn't an original color on the Chevy trucks. You're right. It was a couple of years.
Yeah.
But you could always just paint it whatever you want.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's not a Ford look. You see that look and you instantly know that's not Ford.
I know we're rambling, but I have some questions. Are you looking for something that's a project?
Yeah, we'll see. I got to make it through this tax. I have no clue what my tax liability is going to be this year.
Yeah, it's going to be fucked is
and
what
so
it's going to be.
I'm kind of just everything's on pause until that. So
no, I think about it all the time because I, as much as I hate working on new shit, like working on that Camaro is fun.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I like it. And I've thought about getting something else that would just be like fun to wrench on.
Yeah.
You're that way.
Oh, yeah.
Your old Mustang you worked on. Betty White you worked on.
Mason and I have been working on his replacement truck a ton.
That's what I'm
having
saying.
Having a lot of fun with it.
Maybe you should just get a project and build it what you want.
Well, I already got that with Mason's truck right now.
You know what I mean. Maybe get a fastback that's rusted and needs to be repainted. And don't give it a 10. Just give it a, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see.
And maybe put the drivetrain in it you want and the suspension you want so you can drive it.
Yeah. That'll be the plan.
I will say, I need to... That Camaro needs airbags in the back so bad. Like, the front, the coilovers are great, but the leaf springs, like, I can feel my coccyx trying to snap off when I hit a fucking pothole.
I don't want to hear about your coccyx.
It's awful.
So, back to fraud.
No more Somali talk either.
No more Somali talk?
No Somali talk.
So, we're going to talk about fraud in your business.
It makes me mad.
We're going to talk about when other businesses try to take advantage of your business. And as we do a lot of the show, we're going to talk about a real life experience that I'm going through. And share how to navigate that. So this particular experience has to do with my son's pickup truck that he totaled at the beginning of this month in the snow. And for those that don't know, my son's 16. We did have one snow after we bought his truck.
It was a good snow, too.
After we bought his truck in May... We got his truck like mid-May, and we had one good snow after we bought it, and he did not have his license yet. And so he and I kind of went out and drove his truck in that snow a little bit, but he didn't really get a bunch of... they plowed the roads real quick after it. Like, he didn't get a lot of experience driving in the snow. So December 1st rolls around, we get some snow, they cancel school. Mason says, hey, I'm going to go do some donuts in the parking lot. And he never made it there. He ended up totaling his truck on the way there. And all signs point to he was not fucking around.
We talked about this on the show, and I said, yeah, he was, but whatever.
Yeah, all signs point to the fact that he wasn't really fucking around, but just wasn't skilled enough to drive in the snow. But anyway, totals his truck, and so we filed the insurance claim. He had full coverage on it, and filed the insurance claim, and insurance comes back with this stupid lowball offer.
They always do.
Truck's worth $7,700. And insurance tried giving $5,900 for it. And we're like, no, that's not even close. Said we just put a $3,000 transmission in it, a $3,400 transmission, like less than 1,000 miles ago. Like, this truck's not a $5,900 truck.
Well, and even you showed me the comps, even without the transmission in it.
Yeah.
Like, it's still worth more than that.
And so this is a case of auto owner's insurance doing illegal practices. So there is...
Ooh. Is it actually illegal or is it shady?
No, it's actually illegal. So there is an act in Missouri. I don't know if this is nationwide. I'm fairly certain it is, called the Unfair Settlement Claims Act. And it very clearly labels practices that are forbidden. Insurance companies are forbidden from doing these specific practices. And those examples of forbidden practices include changing of demands throughout the process, where they tell you one thing and then later on they tell you something different. And we have the
good old bait and switch.
Yep. And we have them documented doing that. The practices include offering lowballing the value of your vehicle, and we have proof of them doing that. The practices include poor communication. These are forbidden practices. They include poor communication in order to delay the settlement, and we have plenty of proof of them doing that. And lastly, the forbidden practice is making it difficult to reach a settlement, forcing the client, me, to seek a lawyer in order to get a fair settlement. That is forbidden by law. And so essentially how this whole thing went down is they came back with a value of $5,900, and we said, not even close. We just put a $3,000 transmission in it. We thought we were going to get paid fairly for the transmission. They said, send us the receipts for the transmission. That was on a Friday, so on a Monday, we ended the phone call with immediately sending them the receipts.
Monday, we don't hear anything from them. Tuesday, we don't hear anything from them. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, don't hear anything from them. It's like 3:30 on a Friday. We call them up like, hey,
yeah,
sent you
the
these receipts a week ago. And it was excuse after excuse. Sorry, we're busy. We're overwhelmed. You're on my list to call today, blah, blah, blah. Well, I'm on the phone with you now. Well, yeah, but I'm not ready to call you. It's not prepared yet. Okay, so you're not ready to call. Like, we were on your list to call, but you weren't going to call us.
That's the whole put off a customer thing,
yeah,
and hope that they cave and just accept it because they're tired of dealing with your ass.
This is poor communication to delay the settlement, right?
Yeah.
And I told them, I'm like, look, I don't care if you're overwhelmed. The most important customer is the one that's standing in front of you right now. So I don't want to hear you doing anything with new claims coming in until you take care of our 2-week-old claim. And so she ends up calling back later, and the settlement moved from $5,900 to $6,300. So they gave us $400 for a $3,000 transmission. And meanwhile, the comps that they were using, they have one comparable vehicle that has, so Mason's truck had 84,000 miles on it. They have one comparable vehicle that had 249,000 miles on it. And they said it was on a dealership lot. And so this is another unfair practice.
Is this the Cheetos truck?
Yeah. Yeah, so this is another unfair practice where they use information against you. And so they went and intentionally found super cheap comps that were nowhere, like the definition of a comp is a comparable vehicle to what the loss was.
That's what comp stands for.
Comp is comparable vehicle.
Yeah.
And so they use a $1,000, like they only provide two comps. One comp has 101,000 miles on it, and it's for sale for $8,000.
Not bad.
Another comp has 249,000 miles on it, and it's for sale for $1,000. And so when they average those out and try to find out where we land in the middle, keep in mind, both of them have more miles on it than our truck. Even after their mileage credit and everything else, that's where they get to the 63. And so he said, no, this is not right. Let's get some better comps. And they say, well, Mason's truck had a salvage title on it, and so we can only pull comps from salvage title vehicles. And I said, well, I don't think that's right, but okay, let's find some different comps. And they said, well, the problem is there's not very many out there. Well, I don't care. It just makes your job harder. But like, we still got to find realistic comps. I'm not going to allow you guys to use a comp with 250,000 miles on it. And so then they said, well, you can go find your own comps and submit them to us. Submit us all the links and everything else.
I had to do that when my truck got wrecked last year.
And so I make this very impressive spreadsheet that...
I don't know if I'd say impressive. It looked really good.
It
was very professional.
It's got their two comps on it. It's got their initial listed value on it.
It was very well thought out.
Yeah. And then I found four other comps. And I made sure to find comps in a wide range of varieties. I found two comps that were virtually identical, just a little bit of a mileage discrepancy. I found one comp that was way subpar, and I found one comp that was way too fancy. It was the same year as Mason's truck, only this comp was a salvage title Ford Lightning. So their SVT pickup that's got the supercharged V8 and the fancy suspension and all of that. But
not a good comp, but okay.
Not a good comp, but when they tell me I'm limited to where it can only be salvage title vehicles, I got to work with what I can, right? And if they're willing to take a 250,000 mile vehicle as a comp, then I'm going to go the other way and take...
Yeah, they stabbed you on the short one, and you stabbed them on the long one.
Right. And so in this spreadsheet, I also had hyperlinks to all of the for sale ads, to where they could just click on those links and see the ad and get whatever information they needed to and all that stuff. And then I also gave them two running averages. I said, okay, if we throw out your $1,000 comp and we average all like your other comp and my four comps, you owe me like $9,000 for this truck. But I don't think that's fair. And I'm not asking for $9,000 because two of my comps are not very close. They're not very comparable. And so I said, let's throw out my low comp, your low comp, my high comp, and let's average your comp that's left and my two comps that are left. And that comes to $7,700. And I even found their mileage formula for how they offset the value based on mileage. And on their two comps, one of the comps, they used a formula that was for every 61 miles, they added a dollar in value.
Oh, okay.
And on the other comp,
I gotcha.
For every 69 miles, they added a dollar in value. And so I averaged that, split it right down the middle. For every 65 miles, there's a dollar in value difference. And so I even had the mileage correction formula in there. And all of those comps came out to be, if I average
The three
that were actually comparable in mileage and condition to our loss.
Average them all and then come up with a number.
Yeah, and that was $7,700. And so I email them that whole spreadsheet and everything and a long description of what's all included in the spreadsheet and everything on Monday. And they go on Tuesday, no contact, Wednesday, Thursday, get all the way to Friday, no contact, again, delaying communication to make the process take longer. So we didn't hear from them. We call them back Friday and they're like, hey, what's going on? And they were like, yeah, we just learned today that we can't just email these comps over to, it's like CCC.
We just learned today?
Yeah.
Come on,
they,
bro.
They said, we just learned today we can't email these comps over to, I think the independent appraisal company is called CCCIS, I think.
Are you tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? The Void Podcast has negotiated exclusive rates for the Void listeners. This program's tailored for trade businesses like yours. And if you're using House Call Pro, switch and you can expect to save $80 for every 10,000 you process per month. Don't let high processing fees drain your profits. Visit empowerpayments.com/the void or call us at 913-423-1265 now and unlock your savings.
Or it's CCCI. But for the sake of the show, we'll just call them CCC. They said, we can't email these over. We, like, when we send the email, we have to call them and tell them to look for the email. And so they didn't get it until today. And we were like, again, another week delay, not my problem. So they said, we're going to get right on this and we'll call you back later. So they call back later and they say, none of these comps are valid. All the comps that I gave them, all invalid. And they came up with new reasons why. So the only reason or the only stipulation they told me when I was looking for my own comps was that it had to be salvaged title vehicles. And so I went and searched for ads selling salvaged title vehicles. But these are on Facebook Marketplace and some internet websites and things like that. And internet, it's not going to give you the full VIN usually. Facebook Marketplace, those people are so scam leery that they're a little hesitant to give you the full VIN.
Yeah, they won't. Well, if it's an old car, yeah.
One person did. One person saw an opportunity to make some cash and had me Venmo him some money to get the VIN.
How much you Venmo?
We're not going to talk about that because it's embarrassing. But I keep in mind, I thought...
Did someone make a bad financial decision?
Not really. It was more of a time versus money thing.
First off, we all do it. We all spend money on stupid shit.
Yeah.
But come on.
Keep in mind, at this point,
at least
I thought...
write it down and show it to me so I could fucking
I thought
know what
if
it
I...
is.
Like, their initial thing was, we need VINs for all these. And so I thought, well, if I just get them VINs, then we're good. And then I'm going to get the $7,700.
Over $100?
Yeah. Yeah. It's $200.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. But
Damn, bro.
they played it well. And I needed their VIN because that was one of the appropriate comps.
First off, shout out to that, bro.
Yeah. No. They,
or chick or they, whoever
it was.
It was
a girl, but they played it well.
Oh, yeah. Of course it was a girl.
She said, I just sold a vehicle. It's not for sale. Sorry. And I said, that's fine. I just need the VIN number. I'm trying to prove a value and blah, blah, blah. And she goes, what's it to you? And I'm like, what do you mean? She goes, I'll go find the VIN number, but I'm not going to do it for free.
I fucking love this chick. And, oh my God.
Oh yeah, I don't fault her at all.
No, I don't.
And
she's on a pedestal in my world right now.
And I said, I don't know, what's it, is it $100? Is that worth it to you to go find the VIN? And she goes, call it $200.
Oh shit.
And at this point I'm like peaked emotionally with all this shit. And so
she owned your ass. I love it.
I cash apped her. I had to download Cash App to do this.
Oh, you couldn't even Venmo her?
No, she didn't do Venmo. It was either Zelle or Cash App.
It's easier to scam people on those two.
Yes,
it is. Is what I hear.
And so I Cash App her $100 and I said, give me the VIN and I'll give you the next $100. Well, she went tit for tat with me And she
gave you half the VIN.
She gave me all but the final four numbers of the VIN.
Oh,
and
shit.
Said, when the other 100 shows up, I'll give you the last four. And I'm like, well played. And
oh,
so,
fuck.
And so anyway, I get that VIN.
This is the best moment on the yeah. show in a long time.
So I get that VIN and I give it, as I'm acquiring these VINs, I'm one at a timing emailing them to the insurance company. And finally, they email back and they're like, okay, we have the VINs. You can stop emailing us. And I'm like, good. I hope I'm annoying the fuck out of you. And so then we call back and they were like, yeah, we can't use any of those comps. And I'm like, why not? Well, you didn't include links to the sites.
Yes, I did.
And I said they were hyperlinked in the email. Well, I didn't get that. All I got was
yes,
the attachment.
You did.
And I'm
yes,
like,
you did.
What you did with my email, I don't know, but I can send it to you right now again. And now we're on a three-way call with the auto owners and this independent agency, CCC. And CCC says, well, you can't email me. It's against the rules for you to have direct contact with me. All contact has to go through your insurance
company.
That's
fine. Well, I'm sending it to her right now.
And I said, okay.
Him, her, whatever.
This chick's name's Tiffany. I said, Tiffany, because we're on this three-way call. I said, go to your email, the email that I sent you Monday morning that has all the links and all of the values and the whole description of everything. Oh, and by the way, it also has, I went and called the dealership of their $1,000 comp, and I had them send me photos of that truck. And the $1,000 comp was for sale up in Iowa. Some old lady traded it in for something just a little bit nicer. It has rust holes the size of footballs in all four sides of the truck.
Don't judge us, hillbillies. We like our rust holes.
It has 249,000 miles. The bed is held on by a ratchet strap.
I love it.
The ratchet strap drops between the bed and the cab, goes around the frame, comes over the top of the bed, over the tailgate,
yes.
under the trailer hitch.
Yes.
Back over the tailgate, back to the frame on the other side.
I love it.
So, in other words, this truck won't even pass an inspection. And they sold it. It was listed for sale for $1,000. They sold it for $800 to the local junk scrapper in town.
This was their low comp.
This was their low
okay.
comp.
Yeah.
And so, in my email of my rebuttal with all my comps, I included photos of that other comp. And in an earlier conversation, the CCC, they on the two comps, they have an $8,000 comp and a $1,000 comp. And in their adjustments, you know, they go through like the options the vehicle has and try to adjust
yeah.
for value. If you had an automatic transmission and this one's a manual, they'll give you a couple bucks. If you had a manual transmission and this one's an automatic, they're going to take away a couple bucks, right? So they had two adjustments for options that were different on this $1,000 comp. And then they took $491 off of the value of this $1,000 comp because it's on a dealer lot and dealer cars are in much better condition than cars you see on the road. Dealer cars are going to be professionally steam cleaned and detailed. The engine bay is going to be steam cleaned. It's going to look brand new. It's just going to be in an overall better condition. And so anytime we see a car on a dealer lot, we subtract $491. And I said, okay, that's cool in theory, but to any critical thinker, the $1,000 price tag reflects the condition of the truck.
Yeah.
Not you don't just arbitrarily get a cash grab $491 off of every comp
yeah.
simply because it's on a dealer lot. And so I made sure to poke that bear whenever I emailed them because all of my comps that I found were not on dealer lots. And so I had a whole line in there saying, none of these comps will suffer your $491 cash grab because these are on the road. They aren't in better condition. But just so you're aware, here is what you were considering $491 in conditional differences.
It's got Cheetos.
Fucking Cheetos on the floor.
I love the Cheeto reference.
And the guys at the dealership told me they took that car in on trade. They didn't even clean it. They didn't do anything.
They shoved it out on the front
they
row.
They put a $1,000 price tag on it, put it out by the road, and that's the exact same condition the scrapper bought it in.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we had a big blowout about that. Well, finally, they rejected all of my comps for not having VINs. One of the sites that I got the comp off
that
of.
That you provided at a later date.
Well, I provided two VINs. I did not provide VINs for all four. I provided two and a partial. One of the sites had a partial VIN. You had to log in and become a registered bidder on the...
see the VIN.
Yeah, it wasn't an auction. Like, it was on an auction site, but this wasn't an auction car. It was like, buy it now for this much.
Yeah.
It's not for auction.
Yeah.
But you had to register to be a bidder to get the full VIN, and you have to show a dealer's license to register to be a bidder. So, like, I physically...
It's a wholesale lot, is what it was. And they do auctions and direct sale.
And so I physically couldn't get the whole VIN on that one, but I gave them enough of the VIN to where they could see mileage and options differences. So then they say, well, we need the whole VIN because we have to prove it's got a salvage title. And I'm like, the ad says it has a salvage title. Who in their right mind would
say it's a salvage and not a salvage? Yeah. Like, what kind of stupidity is that?
You're going to lie the other way. It's going to have a salvage title, and you're not going to put it in the ad. You're never going to put that in the ad unless it has a salvage title.
Yeah.
Again, misinformation in order to reduce the claim. And so I said, okay, well, then if you guys aren't accepting any of my, like I said, for one, it's bullshit. Oh, one of the comps they turned down because they ran the VIN, and like 9 months prior, it went through an auction. And they said comps can...
What fucking difference does that make?
They said comps can't go have ever been through an auction site.
And I said, okay. What difference does it make?
I said, think about what you're saying there for a second. You're requiring me to get salvage title comps, but then now you're forbidding it from ever in its history. This is a 23-year-old vehicle. Forever in its history, you're forbidding it from ever crossing an auction site?
Which is...
I said, you realize my son's truck crossed an auction site.
So this is actually more of a comparable comp by your standards?
Right. So my son's truck had a salvage title because at one point in its past, it was stolen and it wasn't recovered before the insurance paid the claim. And so as soon as the truck goes to the property of insurance, it gets a salvage title.
Yeah. Whether it's been wrecked or not.
No wreck. No damage. Yeah. Right? Insurance paid the claim and then insurance sold that truck at auction. So, but...
I have a question. He has full coverage.
Yes.
Were you supposed to be getting a rental car during this time too?
Probably could have. I'll have to check into that.
You're welcome.
Yeah. I will definitely check into that.
Because when my truck was wrecked,
yeah,
they did the same fucking shit for my rental.
Yeah.
They were like, well, we pay up to
$19 a day or something.
It was $28 a day and up to 3 days. And I said, whoa, whoa, whoa. I said, if this lags longer, not of like anything I've done, I'm not fucking paying for that.
Right.
And the lady kind of, she was real good. She was like, hey, they will just go over and they'll just, you know, they'll just pay. I said, okay. And then it's up to X amount of days and then you get a certain percentage off.
Yeah.
You know, but I had to argue just for that.
Yeah.
So technically she probably owes you another...
Yeah.
Well, how long's it been?
I'll read into the policy.
How long's it been?
December 1st was when the truck was crashed.
And today's the 30th.
Yeah.
That's a long... So whatever their maximum is...
Yeah.
You get
we'll
that.
We'll add that.
You get that, too.
Yep.
Next email.
So I told them, I'm like, look, you guys, you didn't put all these stipulations on when you told me to go find my own comps. And I find it funny that you're using a new... I've never heard of this stipulation before, but it's a different stipulation for every single comp I gave you. It sounds like you're just doing whatever you can to reverse this.
Can I get on the pain and suffering for this lawsuit for having to hear this story four fucking times? Yeah. That would be...
I told
I'm
him...
so wore out.
I said, if you're not going to accept my comps, that's fine. I am not allowing you guys to include a $1,000 quarter-million-mile vehicle as a comp.
Find your own comp. That's better than that.
Go do your work. I already did your work for you.
You don't want that.
You don't want that. So go do the work and work it all up. And so the lady, this is where they went way wrong. The lady on the phone, at some point in this, they said that they still didn't have, like CCC said they still didn't have links to the sites or the sale ads. And I said, they're in the fucking email I sent on Monday. We've already gone over this on this call. And they're like, Mr. Smedley, we're not gonna resort to cussing. We're going to treat everybody fairly and all this stuff. And I said, hold on. I didn't cuss at you. I didn't say you are a fucker. I didn't say you are fucking dumb. I said, they're in the fucking email. We're all adults here. You want me to say fudging email? You want to play like we're in preschool?
Yeah.
And I'll use a whole bunch of words that mean the same thing, but like
we know you don't have the brain function to then transfer to the real world.
And and I said, I will never cuss at you, but I will cuss. And that is perfectly okay, and it's part of my First Amendment right. So
what do you want to talk about? It is what it is. Bitch.
Right.
Click.
And so that set her off, and she said, Mr. Smedley, that's it. I'm offering you $7,000 right now. Take it or leave it, because I'm tired of you badgering my employees.
Nope.
Keep in mind, I haven't been badgering. And she said, $7,000, and this thing is done. It's done right now, $7,000. And I said, no, this is done when I say it's done. And I'm not on some power trip like I have all the control, but I'm literally talking to you about you having no logic or rhyme or reasoning into how you come up with these numbers, and this little stunt right here just shit the bed for you, because you just used your emotion to add over 10% to the value of a vehicle.
Yeah.
For no, again, no rhyme or reason, just off of you lost your temper.
Yeah, with no mathematical function.
And I said, what I want is I want CCC to go back and find legitimate comparable vehicles and then rerun it again. Remove the $1,000 comp. And she said, fine, we're going to do that, but now that $7,000 is off the table.
Fine, fuck you.
For one, if it was ever on the table, it's on the table. And for two...
Well, I don't know how that works.
For two, now you're a double-edged sword where you just used your emotions again to reduce the value of the truck by 10%.
Yeah.
So, so anyway, CCC... this was going into the week of Christmas, and I said, I don't know what your guys' holiday hours are.
Okay.
Yeah. I said, I don't know what your guys' holiday hours are, but you know, this next week's probably a short week for most of you. And they were like, yeah, we're going to,
you better get fucking on it.
I said, you better get on it, because we got another short week right after this one. And I'll be damned if I still own this truck before the end of the year, because if I own it before the end of the year and I have to pay personal property taxes on it, that gets added to the claim too. And they said that there's some form you can fill out to prove the data loss. And even though you may have been on the title for it over the end of the year, it still doesn't matter. I'm like, cool, whatever.
Okay. So learn something new today. How about that?
So CCC emails back Monday morning. They now have, they got six more comps.
Oh, okay. Good for them.
They're all at dealers. So they all get their $491 cash grab taken off of them. I got to pull up the email so I can get these correct here. Let's go. Sent emails. Okay, so December 29th.
Okay.
She emailed in and said, see the attached report. The value of the truck is $6,300. They didn't change at all. And I said, there was no attached report. I said, there's no attached report. Send me the attached report. And so they send me the attached report. And it has now eight comps on it, but it very clearly says there's an asterisk by comps 3 through 8. And it says these comps are comparable vehicle. These comparable vehicles were added for informational purposes only, and they were not used to determine the vehicle value.
Then they're not a fucking comp.
Right.
What the fuck does that even mean?
So... of all the comps that they gave, I'm going to read off the mileages of all the comps. Keep in mind, Mason's truck has 84,000 miles on it. A 23-year-old truck with only 84,000 miles on it.
Yes, I know.
So comp 1, 249,776 miles. Comp 2, 101,000 miles. Comp 3, 240,000. Comp 4, 238. Comp 5, 187. Comp 6, 198. Comp 7, 282.
Damn.
Comp 8, 226.
Okay. What are the prices?
They are all over the place. So
what was the lowest, and give me the highest?
So prices before their mileage add back, $248, $7,652, $378, $3,700, $6,000, $2,800, $411, and $2,366. And so I sent them back an email.
Those are all over the map.
And I'm going to read the email word for word.
Oh, fuck. God damn it.
So this isn't a new... here's my email. I said, so this isn't a new valuation report. This report has added comparison vehicles, but all of the added vehicles have an asterisk to indicate that they were not used to determine the vehicle value. As I've stated before, I will not allow you to use a comp that has three times the mileage as our vehicle loss. I said, below is a list of comps you used, even though comps 3 through 8 were not used for the valuation. I've highlighted in pink all the comps with under 100,000 miles. There are none. I've highlighted in yellow all the comps that have less than 2.25 times the miles as hour loss. There's two. And I've highlighted in red all the comps that have over 2.25 times the miles as hour loss. There's six. I said, notice what happens when the vehicle has over 2.25 times the mileage as hour loss. The value drops dramatically. And so after their mileage add backs, comp two at 101,000 miles, their final value for that one is $78.96.
There you go.
Comp five, which they're not using, has 187,000 miles. And after they add back mileage for their mileage factor, its final value is $75.06. I said, at this point, it seems that there is an intentional and malicious intent to greatly reduce the value of our loss, thus reducing the value of your payout. It appears that you're intentionally ignoring comparable vehicles with the most similar mileage and focusing only on vehicles with grossly more mileage in an attempt to reduce the claim value. I'm not cherry-picking these high values either. I'm taking a very pragmatic approach based on the list you provided. As I stated on our call last week, the loss should be somewhere around $7,700 based on the comps I found, and this becomes even more evident with CCC providing these six additional comps. I said, what does it take to assess the value of our loss based off the two comps you provided that are most comparable with our vehicle's mileage? Okay? Because
I got it. I'm following.
If you average $7,900 and $7,500 together, what do you get?
$7,700. Yes, I can do simple math.
Right. So then I've already sold, like, we're going to own or retain the lost truck. They shot me a figure of $1,200 to buy it back from insurance. I've already sold it.
Oh my God, I forgot about that.
Yeah, already sold it in excess of $1,200. It's my way of trying to make a little bit of extra money on this, right? They're going to sell it to Copart for $1,000 or whatever else. So like I can sell it just like Copart was going to sell it. So I've already sold it. And I did tell them, I'm like, is this thing may drag out for a while because I'm one stubborn dude. I am not going to allow this thing dragging out. I am owner retaining the truck. So I'm not going to allow this thing dragging out, preventing me from being able to do something with this truck. So what do I need to do from you to be cleared to do whatever I need to do to sell the truck? And they said, we just need a photocopy of the title front and back. And if there's a lien on it, we need a copy of the lien release. And there's no lien on it because we paid cash for it.
Well, and it's so, a piece of shit.
Right.
Like, it's an old piece of shit truck. Yeah.
And so we sent them a copy of the title front and back. And now I can go deliver the title to this guy that I sold the truck to. Well, they got that title copy front and back. And you were there in the house today, this morning.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They immediately, once they got the title, they thought I was accepting their $6,300 offer. And so they started a whole funding process to electronically issue us payment for their lowball amount. And Danielle emailed them, I emailed them and everything and said, no, I simply gave you the title because that's what I need to do to give you, to for me to have liberty to do what I need to do with this vehicle. I am not settling for anything under $7,700. So currently where everything stands right now, it's a long-winded story.
It's a very long-winded story.
Currently where everything stands right now is I have a phone call, and I don't really expect to hear back from these people until next week. I have a phone call in with Auto Owners Insurance Corporate Compliance Department to make sure that they're aware of all of this stuff. And I have a feeling their corporate compliance is going to take a major... Well, I have a feeling corporate compliance is going to take an objection to them refusing to use comparable vehicles. I have a feeling they're going to take a massive objection to Tiffany using Emotion to offer 10% more and then take 10% back away.
Well, I mean, maybe. Do they record their phone calls?
Yeah. Every call is recorded for quality assurance. Yep.
FYI, if you call Tradewinds, you get me. Every call is not recorded for quality assurance. Yeah. I'm just letting you fucking know right now.
For the same reason Auto Owners records theirs is the same reason we don't record ours. So anyway,
I will use emotion to fucking chew your ass. So,
but then I also called the Missouri Department of Insurance, which is like the regulatory body over Missouri insurance companies.
Yeah, God, can you imagine how busy they are?
Right.
Jesus.
And so I had a phone call with them, and they can't really do too much over a phone call. You have to file an official complaint before they really start opening up.
Well, you have to file an official complaint. I'm sure you have to fill out paperwork, and you have to submit everything, and you have to write a written statement.
Yep. You did all that.
Write a written statement. You have to.
And Missouri is still a little bit archaic. They make it very difficult to do all this online. They would prefer you mail it in or facsimile.
Dude, we keep having these fax talks with the guys at Tradewinds. Who fucking owns a fax machine?
I don't know.
Dude, email took over in 1995.
Right. So I did find the way to submit all this. I did find the way to submit all this online, and I'm waiting back for the Missouri Department of Insurance. But the Missouri Department of Insurance is basically regulating the Unfair Claim Settlement Act.
Yeah.
And as I...
Well, you said attorney earlier. Did you call an independent attorney?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
You're just using the Missouri Department of whatever.
Yes.
As your attorney.
So,
as your stand-in.
Common unfair practices. So these are forbidden by law. Delayed or denied claims. Misrepresentation, lying about policy coverages, terms, and claim statuses, which they did, because I asked her during the first heated conversation where she offered $7,000 and then took it back away.
Yeah.
I said, Tiffany, I have a project for you, too. And that is, because I've looked through my policy and I can't find it. I want to see where you and I both agreed to, me and Auto Owners, because you're representing Auto Owners right now. I want to see where you and I both agreed to the fact that comps for this insurance policy can only be salvage title, comps must require a VIN, comps must require a phone number, and comps must have never appeared on an auction site in their history. Because I don't think that's in my policy, and I think you're holding me accountable to rules that were misrepresented. Right.
Yeah.
She emailed back an hour later, which was after hours for them. She didn't even wait for the weekend. And she said, none of this is in your policy. This is just standard practice.
Standard practice don't mean shit, bitch.
That just proves my point right there that we don't have to live by those rules. Lowballing is an unfair practice, offering settlements significantly lower than what's fair, forcing claimants into lawsuits, which is where this is going to go.
That's probably not true. You're not going to hire independent representation.
No, I don't need an attorney for this. But I'm saying I can walk in there with that spreadsheet and say, look at the two comps that have the most similar mileage to mine.
Well, the Missouri Department of whatever is going to do that for you.
Yeah.
It's not going to go that far.
Another forbidden practice is...
Well, maybe it will. Hell, fuck, I don't know.
Anymore. Inadequately investigating. Not investigating a claim before making a decision, which they are doing.
How great is it that there's a lazy claim in there?
Yeah.
Or a lazy law?
Poor communication, ignoring claimants' inquiries, or failing to provide clear explanations for decisions, which they absolutely did when they gave me stipulations to find comps and then changed all the rules on me later.
Do you know how hard it's going to be for me to make a short for this fucking 45-minute story and try to get it all in 3 minutes?
I don't think
you're
going to make a short on this.
The fuck I'm not!
Another example is unreasonable demands, requiring unnecessary proof or verification after initial submission. So, in other words, requiring a VIN to prove a salvage title, even though nobody would put that in an auction or in a for sale ad, right? So, examples of clearly prohibited conduct, okay? The others were just unfair practices. This is clearly prohibited conduct. Knowingly mistaking policy provisions, which they absolutely did, because they're telling me that my comps have to abide by all these rules that aren't the policy.
Yeah, yeah.
Failing to act promptly on communications, which they absolutely do, because we email them right away and they don't communicate back to us until we call them a week later. And I'm like on recording saying,
oh, I'm sure you are.
I know what you're doing. I know you're trying to slow this down and play the slow game and wear me down, so I'll accept a less than reasonable amount, and it's not going to happen.
Yeah. I got the patience of Joe, bitch. I will wear you out.
Examples of prohibited conduct, not adopting reasonable standards for a claim settlement. In other words...
when you say things like, not you, when they list things like reasonable, it's such a...
Right, but who in their right mind is going to say we have two comps that have more miles than your loss, and then we have six comps that have three times the miles as your loss, and we're going to ignore those.
I know. The only good thing about when they put reasonable in any document like that that could be brought up in court is that just means that the judge has to decide.
Yeah.
And they're usually pretty smart.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a bunch of hillbillies that got drafted for the...
I'll say this. I've been to court twice in my life as a defendant. I've never gone to court with an attorney, and I've won every time.
Won every time of two. That is impressive.
But, yeah.
Never had to have been a defendant. I don't know what that means.
So, the first time...
I mean, I know what defendant means. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, the first time was the girl that we went to high school with when one of my plumbers at LBA flooded her house.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was because her plumbing part broke.
Yeah, I know. I remember that.
The second time was when my neighbor tried to get an ex parte
against
me.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He had a fancy lawyer for his. I didn't need.
My point was, like, if anyone knows us well and they were like, which one of these two motherfuckers has been to court twice as a defendant? They'd be like, ha ha, Dave.
Yeah.
He's a jack off. No.
So the last example of prohibited contact or conduct is compelling litigation for the claimant to get what's owed, which is exactly what they're doing. They're standing firm on their 63 and they're saying, if you want to go any further, we got to go to trial.
Let's go, dog.
And I've already told him. I said, we're at an impasse of $1,400 here. You're at 63. I'm at 77. I don't know how much litigation costs you or arbitration costs you, but I guarantee you it's more than $1,400. And so it would actually cost you less money to just pay me what's rightfully owed on the vehicle.
The moral of the story, let's be honest, and this is how I am too. You know me.
Mm-hmm.
Do not let people walk all over you and take advantage of you or your situation, regardless of the amount of money.
Yep.
This is how business is.
Yep.
Right? Oh, well, the ticket was only $800. I've decided I'm only paying you $650. What?
Yep.
Don't let people call you and try to get money off just because they think that they can manipulate you.
Yep.
People that don't stand their ground, especially in business, go out of business quickly. You have got to be, and we don't talk about this a lot on the show, you have got to be pretty tenacious and have some grit and be a little bit of an asshole or be able to act like an asshole at different times in your business career.
And it's not acting like an asshole. It's just knowing what you're talking about, knowing that when you're being taken advantage of and standing your ground. Now, that comes off like an asshole sometimes.
That's probably what I mean more realistically is when you do that, people label you as an asshole.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's probably what I mean there. But that's what it takes. If you constantly are getting railroaded in your business and run over, you will not make it. I know a guy specifically, I won't say who he was, HVAC guy, ran his own business. This has been early 2000s. Someone I know very well and have a great deal of respect for, ran their own business, sold their business. This other guy calls them in and says, will you help me with my books? I'm not making it. I don't understand what's going on. I'm at a loss. I need help.
Yep.
Guy goes, yeah, I'm happy to help you. Goes in there, starts going through his books. He goes, an hour in, I knew what the problem was. He had $65,000 in AR because he was too nice of a guy.
Yep.
He'd do work for people. He put a system in for those people. And then they'd be like, well, we don't have the money right now. Yep. He wasn't collecting money up front. That's a whole nother problem. You know, I can't afford to have my furnace fixed like that. He would make the invoice and then write it off because he felt bad for single mother Jill over here or Bob over, grandparent Bob over here.
Yeah.
I didn't have the $750. Dude, if you lay down, regardless of the situation, you will not make it in business.
Yeah.
You have to stand firm.
Yep.
Insurance is we've talked about this privately. Insurance is maybe the greatest scam in the history of America. Yeah, yeah. Other besides government, healthcare, insurance. Like those are the top three, right? They will run over you and not even think twice about it.
Nope.
They will run over
They'll incentivize their employees to run over you.
Yeah. They do it at the end of the year when they're running your new business insurance, if you're not shopping them constantly.
Yep.
Like, it is one of those industries where they feel like they can just fully take advantage of
you. They can't fail. They're too big to fail.
I will say this, though. Once someone in their business life, personal life, whatever, has had to deal with one, I've dealt with three of them where I have been completely, or insurance has completely tried to boomerang me, right? And I didn't fall for it, right? I stood my ground. I did the deal. If you got boomeranged once, you're a better person for it, I will say.
Yeah, like you learn.
You learned your lesson, and then it's made you a little more jaded. And then over the years after, like every year after that, you start not being such a patsy.
Yep.
Like you start like, okay, I got to get some grit.
Yep.
You know, I got to stand up for myself constantly.
Yeah.
That'll make you a better business owner. But if you're one of those guys, gals, that's just like, oh, it's okay. This is going to happen. Oh, this is just part of life. This is part of business. This is just the everyday. You ain't going to fucking make it.
Right.
You're just not, man. You're going to run the fuck over.
You know, I've had a couple people, as I've shared bits and pieces of this on social media, I've had a couple people say, man, what's your time worth? You're spending a lot of time for $1,400. And it's a very valid point.
Oh, it's 100% valid.
And if this were my vehicle, I would have, like, if this was one of the plumbing company vehicles or something like that, I would have...
You'd have rolled down the road and said, fuck it.
I would have rolled down the road, said, my time's not worth it.
This truck's making me $30,000 a month if it's not...
Right.
You know?
And also, I would have, like, I would have said, okay, I'm going to ignore that, but I'm also never going to do business with you again. I'm going to move all my insurance away from you, right? Because we vote with our dollars every day.
Yeah.
And so, the challenge with this one, though... is this isn't my money. It's my son's money. But he's underage, and he can't be having these litigious conversations with the insurance company because he's not 18.
Well, it's a great... This is one of those opportunities that is invaluable financially when it comes to teaching your kid a lesson about government, healthcare, or insurance trying to fuck your eyeballs out.
Exactly.
So at this is one of those unique situations that the money doesn't matter. Even though money matters, it doesn't matter.
Right.
It doesn't matter what it costs you.
Yep.
You know, and let's be honest, it could cost you. I don't think it will, but it could.
No.
But even if it did, the lesson learned would still be worth it.
Yes. Yeah. You look at how many times you get to experience such an indifference with an insurance company, and now, like, I'm keeping my son... I'm forwarding him all the emails. I'm keeping him fully in the loop. And he's learning how to go to battle against insurance companies. He's learning that you can't just cuss him out and throw a temper tantrum and yell and scream.
Yeah, you can't go to the office and hold their tires.
Yeah, you can't.
I mean, you can.
You can't hold your breath and pull on your ears and stomp and throw a temper tantrum. You have to be very diligent and very pragmatic, and you have to win with facts.
Yeah, you got
to
be Republican about it.
Yeah. 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 You don't see me holding up a cardboard sign that says no kings in front of their place.
Oh my God.
But
that would be great though.
Yeah.
Dude, shorts.
The other impact here is, we're talking $1,400. $1,400 means something completely different to a 16-year-old boy than it does a 43-year-old man.
Yeah.
Right? And so, you know, yes, on the surface, it looks like I'm foolishly wasting my time over $1,400. But once you dive just a little bit deeper, like you said, invaluable lesson for Mason, and $1,400 means the world to a 16-year-old kid.
Dude, when we were 16, I'd have gave you the end of my pinky.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
For $1,600.
Right.
And now it's like... Yeah. You know, I'll give you $1,600 if you let me stab you.
Yeah.
You know?
It's just a different game.
Perspective is a real thing.
Yeah.
You know?
But ultimately in business, you will get burned bigger, harder, faster, and more often by other businesses than you ever will by an individual person. Businesses have no problems throwing you under the bus and saying it's just business. So
they feel like it gives them a shield.
Yes.
And they have protection to just do it. And there's not going to be any type of consequence.
Because
let's be honest, to get that consequence costs you even more money.
Exactly.
So they feel entitled
yes.
and able to do it.
Yeah. they know that there is a cost to you recovering your money, and so they're willing. They some of these businesses, I guarantee you, they have formulas inside their business to underpay people just the right amount to where it's not quite going to land in court, and they save money.
Didn't you see Fight Club?
Yeah,
that exactly. was Edward Norton's job in Fight Club.
Yes.
Was you know if X
yeah.
you know death. Penalties paid out versus why the amount of recall was less. They let people die.
Yeah.
Like that was the whole premise of his job in Fight Club.
Yeah. And so the value of this is 18%. It's exactly 18%.
You know what's...
And so I have a feeling that they have learned...
If it reaches 12, we're
that,
good. 10.
That I can undervalue vehicles by 18% and we win in the long run. It's no different. The company I used to work for...
It's the same thing as Vegas.
Yeah. The company I used to work for that's now owned by ARS, they had a rule that 2% of your income was available to go back for upset
buybacks.
Customer refunds.
Yeah.
And
not buybacks, I'm sorry.
And basically their thing was, like, if we ever return less than 2% of the money, they're worried that they have a shitstorm of upset customers. Like they literally implanted on they plan on upsetting enough customers where you're going to have to give back 2%. It's crazy.
It is crazy.
It's crazy to think that you're going to give back customers as much as you spend on like credit card processing. Which if you're spending more than 2% on credit card processing, you need to hit up Empower Payments.
Love me some Brady at Empower Payments. I know he has an ad in the show, but his link's at the bottom of the description too if you just want to go to that.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Most places you're going to spend about 4%. You can save, like you can literally cut your credit card expenses in half by just switching to Empower.
It's funny you bring that up because I've been running a lot of our guys' numbers at the end of the year and looking at credit card processing. And mm-hmm. like I do it for us too. Most people are in the 3.4 to 3.6 range,
mm-hmm.
even though like their advertised processor is at 3 because there are some other fees and stuff that fall into that that put you to the 3.4 to the 3.6 range.
Yeah.
If you can realistically get... in the 2.4 to 2.9 range, you're saving almost $1,000 a month.
Yeah.
On average for people that are in our gross profit range.
Yeah. No, probably without even giving, more than that.
Without giving a whole bunch of information about
yeah. We run clients. About $100,000 a month in credit card processing and credit cards.
Now you can give away as much of your information as you want. That's fine.
Yeah. In our plumbing company, we run about $100,000 a month in credit cards. All the rest is in checks or cash and or financed. And, you know, so 2%. That's a lot. That's $2,000 a month that we're spending in fees. It would be $4,000 a month if we were with somebody else.
When we talked about it a while back, you guys were saving between $1,500 and $1,800 a month.
Yeah. The
going on power.
So on the credit card thing.
Not to get us off task. I'm sorry.
But being taken advantage of by other businesses and business, credit card companies love to do it. And how they do it is they'll say you have a 2.5 promotional offer. But then they have like a $150 or $300 processing fee or maintenance fee every month.
Yeah, subscription fee. If someone signs up with you for a monthly, there's a subscription fee that goes on top of that too.
And so the true credit card processing fees is to take the entire amount you process with credit cards times all of their fees.
Yeah.
And you have to work all of their fees into it. And so
you gotta work
again,
backwards.
Another really cool thing with the way Empower Payments works is they set up an electronic bank transfer with your bank and they will assess all of the fees throughout a month and they do one pull out of your bank account every month. Your bookkeeper will freaking love you because a lot of other processors, they take their fee on every transaction and your bookkeeper hates it because you do a $300 transaction and you record a deposit of $296 because $4 went to, that's a low number, it's probably $291, because the $9 went to credit card processing fees.
Yeah.
And so now your books get all wonky, and you have all these extra entries because now you got an underpaid invoice, and you got to write the rest off to a credit card fee and all of this shit. And then you still have to pay their maintenance fees every month.
Yeah.
So that part right there was the best part about switching to Empower was... I mean, I'm married to my bookkeeper in the plumbing company. And so, you know, she loved the ease that it made
of
bookkeeping.
Of course she did.
Yeah. That's a lot of transactions every month that you're having to try to juggle all that
I
crap
do it
with.
Every month, dog.
So, but anytime you have an insurance loss Make sure you get what's owed to you. And sometimes it's a matter of principle. Sometimes it's a matter of money. Sometimes it's your company is telling you everything you need to hear to let you know what company you're not going to use in the future, right? So, like, I have no doubt that, for one, Danielle is afraid that Auto Owners is going to drop us because because we're difficult to work with. And I said, they won't even get that far. They won't drop us. I'm yanking.
Yeah.
We spend $3,000 to $5,000 a month on insurance premiums. And because of all the company, like, it's all through Auto Owners.
Are the ownership group going to let you do that?
Yes, okay. Absolutely. So we spend $3,000 to $5,000 a month on insurance premiums, and Auto Owners are squabbling over something that's like literally 2 weeks worth of premiums.
Well, and that's what I was going to say earlier. You know, you were talking about it's only $1,400. Think about it on the other side. It's only $1,400 to them. $1,400 to you at your income level is X percent.
Yeah.
$1,400 to them at their income level is a much smaller percent. Why can't they eat it? Like,
well, and $1,400 to my 16-year-old's income level.
That's my point.
That's half of his, that's 50% of his annual earnings.
I know, that's what I'm saying. It's so, just for...
He made about three, no, I guess it's not quite 50. He made $4,000 over the summer mowing yards.
Yeah.
So...
I can hear the insurance guys. Oh, you don't understand. We've got to pay our guys, and we got to have this, and we got to have that. You know what? No, fuck your bullshit.
Well, all right. So remember,
be better at your fucking job.
So the first time I had to go to court as a defendant, that customer, they had about $3,000 in water damage cleanup expenses, and their deductible was like a $2,000 deductible.
Yeah.
And so it didn't quite make sense to run it through insurance. Why run it through insurance when they're only going to cover $1,000? And sure enough, your rates are going to go up over that.
And they're going to fuck you.
Right? So her insurance agent called me. And there was a State Farm insurance agent. And ironically, she sponsored like a trash pickup along the highway. And whenever she called me, I vividly remember this. I'm on the phone with her, driving by her name on the highway
shit.
For the trash pickup. But she legitimately tells me, she's like, you work for a big company. You guys just need to eat it. And I said, I work for a big company. You're fucking State Farm.
Yeah.
How about you guys eat it?
Yeah.
Like, my liability doesn't change because they chose a $2,000 deductible.
Yeah.
Like, if they had a $500 deductible, we wouldn't even be on the phone. So they chose to cheap out on their deductible. That doesn't make me responsible for this claim.
Oh.
And yeah, this whole, but again, it's State Farm trying to get me, and it's just their agent, man, trying to get me to, they know they can't come after me for the damage. And so then she privately went to small claims court, and that's where I won in small claims court.
Yeah.
So,
it's so arbitrary. You know what I mean?
It is.
It's something that seems, how do I want to say this? This conversation seems like it's very, very stupid to someone that doesn't know.
It's very prevalent in business, though.
I know. That's what I'm about to say, is that the problem is if you cave to every one of those little arbitrary things that seem stupid, they add up.
Yep.
It's death by 1,000 cuts, man.
Yeah.
In business, you literally, you have to run a tight ship. We tell our guys that all the time. You've got to be on top of your numbers. You've got to be doing your insurance audit at the end of every year. You've got to stay on top of your taxes so that next year you're not fucked with a huge tax burden. If you cave to all of the little bitty things that all these other businesses you work with and clients you work with and customers you work with, you just, I know I've said it three times already, you won't make it.
Right.
It will slowly bury you alive.
And outside of burying you financially...
Dude, the mental aspect,
the mental
and the train.
Of it, of getting rolled over time and time and time again, it wears you down.
Yeah,
and you start to feel entrapped in your own business, and you're a slave to your own business at that point because you don't control your own business. You let other businesses control your business.
Yeah,
and so
there is no more of a helpless feeling.
Yeah,
when you're not in control of a large aspect of either your life or your small business.
Yep. Yeah, Victor Rancor said during his, when he spoke at our first event, he said that if you're afraid to have tough conversations with your employees, then you're a slave, you're a hostage in your own business.
Yeah, it was a hostage.
And it's very, very true. And all of that stuff matters even more whenever it's dealing with other businesses. Another example, we had a couple of trucks pop, Ford Transits are a magnet for rocks on windshields. I don't know why. Big ass piece of glass.
Because it's a giant flat piece of metal rolling down the road. Yeah. That's fucking why.
And so we had to replace like a total of 3 windshields in 1 year. And at that time, my dad was my insurance agent. And like replacing a windshield in the Transit's like $2,000. And I thought to ask my dad, I'm like, hold on our personal vehicles, if we get a rock through the windshield, insurance fixes that for free. It's just included in the policy. It doesn't raise your rates, nothing. I said, I wonder if that's the same for business. So I call my dad and I'm like, hey, is this the same for business? He goes, oh, absolutely. It's a $500 deductible for business, but it's still, they take care of everything else. It's $500 and it doesn't raise your rates.
Yeah.
Very clearly states in the policy.
Yeah, it's an incidental.
Yeah. And so I'm like, sweet. And so I paid $1,500 for 3 windshields.
Yeah.
And we got 2 more to do now, but I don't know if auto owners does that insurance. I don't know if...
First off, if I were you, I wouldn't be doing shit through auto owners until this was settled.
Well...
God, this could be one of those things that goes on for 3 fucking months.
I don't think it's... I'm not going to let it go that far. Like,
if... You going to take this $6,300?
No.
Well, then you may not have that choice.
Well, no, I'm just saying it'll go straight to arbitration. And whenever they get an arbitration letter, then they're going to settle because they know exactly how much arbitration costs. And so then they're going to settle outside of arbitration at the desired amount to keep from having to invest all of the resources in arbitration.
I don't know, man. It's so wild to think how those businesses can be irrational as well. You know, we always want to say, oh, they're, you know, big businesses, they're rational, they go by the numbers, they do this, they do that. Well, all of those separate entities within that company are run by someone that's just like me, someone that's just like you,
yep,
that you have done pissed off. And maybe someone above whatever this girl, I don't remember what you said her name was.
Tiffany.
Two or three people above her is an asshole like me and doesn't give a fuck if he gets fired. It doesn't give a shit that it's $1,400 and thinks, this Mitch Smedley's a fucking asshole and I'm going to drag this motherfucker out just to be a dick because you know what?
Yeah.
I ain't got nothing to fucking lose.
Well, that's why you incorporate the right people in your argument. So that's why I went to their corporate compliance department.
That's why you went to MoDOT. I keep saying MoDOT.
And that's why I went to the Missouri Department of Insurance, is let's get some other regulatory bodies' eyes on this.
Yeah.
For all I know, I'm in the wrong. For all I know,
I doubt
it's perfectly okay for them to use a comp that is not roadworthy. It has 3 times the miles.
I don't think it is, man. Because when I brought all that shit up, when my truck got totaled, and I brought all that shit up, like she said, send me whatever you want.
Yep.
So I emailed her 3 trucks a fucking day.
Yep.
I mean, literally, I was blowing her up.
Yep.
And she was like, well, yeah, with this and with that and blah, blah, blah. She goes, I've run it up the chain, and it's just triggered an independent auditor to come out and look at the truck. I said, okay, let me know. They went out there. They looked at it. She called me back and said, yeah, you're right. It's worth this.
Yep.
So my gut feeling is that they're doing something they shouldn't be fucking doing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's what my gut tells me. So
at the moment, Tiffany emotionally went 10% above the value and then 10% below the value. It tells me that a lot of these things are coming at her decisions.
Yeah.
And she is stopping this information from going above her, which is why I took it above her.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you done pissed her off.
But these are the things that you
have
to do in business.
That's usually
something I do. And these aren't things where you're being malicious in trying to take advantage of other businesses.
No, you're trying to not be taken advantage of.
Yeah, you're holding other businesses accountable to the agreement. Because you know what's weird? Paid the premiums on that truck and have on all of our vehicles without question. Never short paid them. I'd never gone to them and said, hey, you know what? I know we agreed on $3,000 a month for all of our premiums, but I've done some independent research and this is only $2,000 in premium value. So here's a check for 2. Fight me for the rest. I've never done that to them.
Yeah.
But that's what they're doing to me, right?
Yeah. We had that show 3 shows ago. I don't know, 2, 3, 4 shows ago, whatever, about accountability.
Mm-hmm.
And I made a quick accountability short. It was on, I don't remember exactly what it was on. It was about basically liberals not wanting to be held accountable for their own actions, and then just a little bit of business stuff in there too.
Mm-hmm.
I knew it was a problem, and that people have a problem with accountability when there's one like and like 15 dislikes.
Yeah.
Like you, so you immediately don't agree with being withholding yourself accountable?
Right.
Like that was the whole short, was hold yourself accountable, hold yourself to your own standard.
Yeah.
And immediately it was like, no.
As
it's very, I'm trying to choose the right word. How about disturbing? It's very disturbing to me that people in general do not want to be held accountable for their own actions.
Yeah.
Because that is the death spiral.
Yeah.
When you're not held accountable or you think there are no consequences to accountability,
yep.
Like that's the death spiral.
Yeah, it is.
It's not good.
I'm watching a situation right now between two people where one person is not wanting to hold themselves accountable. And
do I know him?
Yeah.
Spicy.
If they don't correct that, it will be disastrous. Both people are at fault in this thing, but one person is trying to say the other person is completely accountable for the whole problem.
Is it marriage?
Yes. And
never good.
They're going to have to work through it, but the one is going to have to take accountability for their half of the issues. Otherwise, it's going to end in divorce super quick. So,
dude, nothing
I'll tell you a little bit more about it.
Nothing will end a relationship quicker when one person is shouldering
all of the accountability,
but they've done nothing wrong.
Yep.
Like that. In 30 seconds, you're like, nope, I'm out.
Yep.
Like nothing flips that switch faster than that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's an interesting thing to go through life without accountability. Hell, my Facebook post last night. That is.
I didn't actually read your post.
That is accountability in its most transparent form.
Oh yes, I did. About you puking. Yeah, I did.
Because
pussy.
Because nobody knew about that other than Danielle and I. So like,
I don't want to be. Like
I didn't have to hide it.
It's not a big deal either.
It's not a big deal.
Yeah, it's not.
It's not a big deal. But that was the point of that post. Is like, let's show people accountability at its most basic point. I threw up after drinking one night. Like,
yeah,
but if I'm going to ignore that and not take accountability for that, then what else am I not taking accountability for? And so let's show people something that they didn't even need to know.
Yeah.
I could have hid that. I could have never said anything. I could have not changed. I could have just kept going down the path I was on. Nobody would have known.
Yeah. It's like when we went to Vegas and I vanished.
Right.
Like I came in the next day and I was like, dude, I don't know what happened. Yep. I fucked up. Like, I don't
passed out.
Damn.
Yeah.
I didn't have to tell anyone that. I could have said I was tired and I went back to my room. I watched a movie and I just, you know.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, I fucked up all day. I was like,
and the neat thing about accountability is the more you start practicing it, the better it feels. Like it feels so good to take ownership of your mistakes.
I don't know about that.
The first couple times it's fucking awkward as hell.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying I don't ever feel good, but I've never felt bad.
It's a weight off your shoulders because otherwise you're like walking around dishonest because you're like you're giving people a dishonest perception of you.
That's feeling guilty about something you've done that no one knows about. That's
exactly.
Called self-inflicted guilt, and that's a whole nother psychology episode 101. You probably need to be in some therapy.
And well, no, what I'm saying,
if you were ever that way,
yeah, no, what I'm saying is to avoid that, you come clean early, while things are small. You recognize and take accountability early while it's small and fixable, and no real damage has happened. Like take the other night, the only damage that happened. Was I'm laying naked on the bathroom floor in a puddle of vomit, and Danielle had to clean it all up, and I don't remember shit. So, like, that's it.
Oh, man.
But taking accountability for that early and recognizing and vocalizing the mistake and then promising a changed behavior. And Danielle thinks I'm going overboard with it. You don't need to stop drinking, blah, blah, blah.
First off, I am mad at her because that... There has to be photo evidence, and they need to be sent to me. I won't put them on the internet, but I want to see what's happening. I'm bored. I need stuff to entertain me.
So, yeah, that's a you know, that's a whole second lesson in this show about accountability that wasn't really intended, but
yeah. Wrap us up, so, Mitch. A little long today.
If you guys, I want to hear some stories from you guys about how you've been taken advantage of in business. So
I want to hear your embarrassing vomit stories.
Yeah.
If you send us in some embarrassing drunk stories to make Mitch feel better about his own actions,
yep,
we will talk about them on the show.
Our emails are in the description of the show. You can email that stuff to us, and we're pretty responsive with those emails. So email us your email us stories where you've been taken advantage of and what the outcome of that was. Did you not realize you were taken advantage of until it was too late and you got rolled? Or did you stand up for yourself and fight the big guy and win? Or did you stand up for yourself and fight the big guy and still lose? And then you voted with your dollars later and you didn't do business with that big guy anymore. I want to hear it all. So send that stuff in. I'd love to hear about it. And good enough stories, obviously, we'll talk about them on the show. So until next week, guys, we will see you later.